Take your Bibles, the book of Matthew chapter 7. You'll also want to find 2 Timothy chapter 3. Matthew chapter 7 and 2 Timothy chapter 3. The title of our lesson today is Beware. And throughout the Bible, there is the admonition to beware. Beware of those who will take you in the wrong direction. Beware means to be on one's guard, to take care of, or to be wary of. If you can, let's stand. Matthew chapter 7, we'll begin reading at verse 15. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look into your words, you tell us to beware. And there are those who will use religion in a false way. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of what you teach us, and may we make the right decisions in our life. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Beginning again in verse 21, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That verse will tell you that there are those who will proclaim to be God's disciples, but are not. But those that follow the will of God. Now, how do we know the will of God? Well, we find it in the scriptures. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day. Notice, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Beware of false prophets. Jesus, nearing the close of the Sermon on the Mount, warns his listeners to beware of those false prophets. You know, a lot of times when it comes to religious things, we have a trusting nature because we want to think positively about people. But he says, beware. To those in attendance, by a prophet's work, you will know if they are truly a follower of him or one that is simply seeking advantage financially or in power or in attention. He will later say the same thing about those who claim to be believers. By their fruits, you shall know them. Keeping your place here in Matthew 7, for we will be back, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to start with the thought that perilous times shall come. And as I'm reading this, to whom will these perilous times come? Beginning at verse 1, this know also. Paul is writing to a young man named Timothy. This know also that in the last days. Now, I think Paul thought the last days would be a lot sooner than what they've been. Now, we know that down through history of mankind, there have been a lot of dark days. There have been troubling times. There have been times in which people have struggled with what is going on. And some would say that even now we are in the last days. Notice, perilous time shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Now, for some of you, you would say that is describing 2019. And yet I remember when I was a young boy and my dad would preach and he would use this thought. He said that was the last days. I remember reading in certain books from Spurgeon in England a century or more ago and others back further that said those were the last days. In fact, what we know is that mankind has struggled with sin right from the beginning. Right from the very beginning, there has been a problem with living godly, righteous lives. And for the church and the true believer, the last days will be perilous. And we are finding that in our society today that there is no problem with religion, but there is a problem with godly teaching and preaching. They don't care that we have religious services. Just don't take it outside these walls. And they especially have problems with Christianity because we want to change the world. And we want to change it for good. And men love evil because their hearts are evil. And so they struggle with it. Verse 3 says that they'll be despisers of those that are good. Do we see that in today's world? Isaiah 5, 20 and 21, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that call evil good. Do we see that in today's world that they call evil good and they call good evil? We see it. Verse 4 says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Would you say we have a entertainment-driven society? Even within our churches, we want to entertain. And that's not a good thing. Our desire is to have a place of worship. Did you come with the desire to worship the Lord today? To sing the songs of praise, to hear songs of praise, to be able to give an offering, to hear the message. Are you hoping that the next 15 minutes will fly by because, well, to be honest, you're thinking about going to eat? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I want to go home and eat because I bought a roast the other day at Kroger's. You bought one, you got one free. Of course, they don't tell you, they jack up the price, right? And I know what's at home. And now you do too. But you know what the fact of the matter is, we should have a desire to be uplifted in our Christian walk. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Do you believe that there is so-called fake news? That there is fake news. Do you think there are fake believers? Can I ask you this? Do you think everybody in this room right now is a believer? I mean, as we're sitting here, do you think everyone that is here is really a believer? Or do you think there's some people here right now that, well, they're just here right now? Yeah. We have those that have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Let's go over to chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They will want to hear a certain sound. They don't want to hear the truth. And that is a problem when we refuse to listen to the truth. Verse 4 says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And folks, there are a lot of fables in today's society. But quickly back to the book of Matthew chapter 7. We have two times, two thoughts about two decisions. Verses 13 and 14, two ways. Two ways. As most of you know, our granddaughter just graduated from Cedarville University down in Cedarville, Ohio. And my son, who drove from Grand Rapids, and Don and I, who drove from here, we were talking about getting there. And I said, there's one way you get onto I-75, and you go south to Dayton, you go over on 70 to a certain point, and you go south, and it's right there. But he said, when you come from Grand Rapids, there are multiple ways to get down to where he was wanting to get. I'm glad there's only one way into heaven. And that we know that way. But I'm going to tell you this, a lot of the world doesn't know that way. They don't know Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people in our world today that don't know the name of Jesus Christ. And the only way they know of God is in a curse. But the fact of the matter, there is one way. You say, well, what about all the other religions? God has given us one way, and we are to make sure they know that way. Is that an easy job?
No.
It's not an easy job. In fact, it's very hard. Because it means leaving father and mother. It means leaving siblings. It means leaving family. It means leaving what you know to go to a culture or a world that is in need of Christ. And that need has shown because of the darkness spiritually that is there. But there are two ways, the Bible tells us, that we can go. There are two gates. Now, it would be a whole lot nicer if these two gates were something we could actually see. But let's read what it says there in verses 13 and 14, Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to what? To destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, or narrow, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There is a broad gate. This gate leads to destruction and hellfire, and unfortunately, many will go through that gate. The Lord has always had a remnant. Rarely has he had the majority. But we that are the small group, the remnant, we must continue to proclaim the gospel truth. The gate that leads to destruction is wide. And I wonder how many hear the message. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. But their friends are going that way. It looks inviting. How can so many people be wrong? And so many go that way. But then there's a straight gate or narrow. This gate leads to eternal life. Doesn't that sound like the one that we want? And again, unfortunately, few find it. Jesus is speaking here. I'm just repeating it. Jesus says there's a broad gate and many are on it, going down through that gate and going the path that it takes. And there's a narrow way, and few find it. I wonder how many are standing at this gate, staring at it. How many come to a church and they hear a sermon like this and they think, wow, that makes sense. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need to go that way, but they don't. Now, most people are not saved the very first time they hear the gospel message. I didn't. And I grew up in a pastor's home. I wasn't saved the first time. And I heard it many times before one day I realized, I better do something. I better do something. I was about 7 years old, thereabouts. I mean, I needed to stop sinning. I needed to stop smoking, cussing, and hanging around women that did. Now, that's just a joke, folks. But how many people would go in, but someone is shouting, you don't want to go that way? Those people don't know how to have fun. They're killjoys. Always lead to heaven. How many of you heard that? Always lead to heaven. Have you heard that? That every one of us is going to get to heaven. We're just going to go different ways. I believe that's a lie of the devil. Because I believe there is one way, and that way is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to die to forgive us of our sins. And the enemy wants to confuse us. And he counterfeits religions all over the world. And some of them look like they have interesting thoughts and interesting traits, and they want to be good to mankind. But what did Jesus say? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. So we have to pick wisely. There is the broad gate that leads to hell and destruction. There is the narrow gate that leads to life and everlasting time with God. And then, in our time remaining, we go over to verse 24. There are two foundations. Two foundations. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, he has been speaking for quite a time. And he says, those that hear these sayings of mine and do with them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Have you ever been to the doctor's office and they said, you need to do this and this and this and this. And you said, I will do this and this and this and this. And you got to the car and you said, I'm going to do this and this and this and this. And you never did one of them. I went to a men's meeting just back a couple of months ago. And I went to one of the speakers and one of the speakers said, you need to fast. And I thought, can I get out of here now? Now, that was my first thought. You need to fast. And he had 40 minutes, Rudy, of telling us why we needed to fast. And I thought about it, and as he spoke, it sounded really good. Doesn't it sound easy to fast? I mean, it just simply means you don't eat for X number of hours. And I thought, that sounds really good. It sounds good physically and spiritually. And I declared to myself as I left, I'm going to do that. That roast is cooking. See, how many times we have heard someone say, this is what you need to do, and you said, that sounds good. I need to do that. And we don't do it. Jesus said, for those that hear and do it, they're wise. You build your spiritual house on a sound foundation. And then there are those who heard and said, no, I'll build my spiritual house on false teaching and the wisdom of this world, upon financial gain. And the Lord called them foolish. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Folks, going to church is not enough. Have you made that decision for Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? Have you said, I will follow you? Shall we stand together? 375 is our song, Just As I Am Without One Plea. He wants you to come just as you are. Are you willing to do this? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this time of prayer, we ask that the Spirit would move, that hearts would be touched, that your will would be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.